Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, ladies and gents, and welcome to Desperate House Witches. I'm Dorian Wallace.
I'm Raina Starr. Welcome to it, y'all. It is Friday. Yes. The year is almost over. I can't even begin to believe it. But before we start talking, let's get to the disclaimer. Ladies and gentlemen, all our new listeners and our old listeners as well, thank you for joining us this evening. So, if bad language, dirty talk, bodily function, or any other potentially offensive conversation is going to upset you, this may not be the show for you. We are not G, P, G, R, or even X. So if any of those things might freak you out, you may not want to listen. But if you're here to hang, we're happy to have you, and welcome to all of our new listeners and our new followers.
Hi.
Thank y'all so much for joining us, and stick around. It's going to be a good evening. We've got a great guest, but I'll get to that in a minute, too. So, to get down to business, Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the one, the only, the amazing Wicked One herself, the incredible Dorothy Morrison, Wicked Witch Studios. And go get your witchy goods at www.wickedwitchstudios.com. We are very lucky because this month and next month we are going to be speaking with the Wicked One herself, the incredible Dorothy Morrison. And
next
if you
week.
Get a chance, Utterly Wicked, yes, next week. And if you get a chance, Utterly Wicked, which has been out of print, is being reissued with a new cover. So be on the lookout for that. Sis and I have copies of this. I think between the two of us, we probably own 7 copies of the original release.
I have 2 of them signed.
Oh, yeah. I have 2 signed. My hubby has 1 signed to himself. Oh, yes, please. Dorothy is his guru. Just ask him. So that's always fun. But anyway, so it's been an interesting week. Got a couple of things I want to say, of course, like I do.
Go for it.
but tonight's guest is somebody I kind of like stumbled across. I can't remember if her publisher reached out or I just managed to find her because I think she's amazing and hilarious. Her name is Kelly Dawn. She's a motivational speaker, a lifestyle speaker. She is a major manifester, and I can't wait to, like, get into a conversation with her because I think she's going to be really fascinating about how to actually manifest. Because I know a lot of folks have struggled with making things happen. I know I have. Sometimes you put out to manifest something and it doesn't happen and you kind of put it on the back shelf and then all of a sudden it kind of hits you between the eyes, which is kind of what happened to me with this move we just did. My part of the family has just relocated to another part of town, not too far from Sis, don't worry, but you know, it's a nice spot as opposed to where I was, which was also a nice spot. This is just a spot I wanted to be in more. And I had put out for it, and I was like, oh, we'll never be able to afford it. I'll never be able to make that happen. Lo and behold, things kind of moved as it does in the universe, and poof, I'm here. So,
yay.
You know, I want to talk about that. Yeah, so I'm kind of psyched. It's a really groovy new space for us, so that's cool. Whatever. Anyway, so Yeah, I had a little situation on my page this week. And yeah, you know, there should be a thing about etiquette where people know not to, like, come and trash you on your own page, whatever it is you're saying. And what I did was, it was really innocuous. So I post an article about the push to stop doing the whole fall back, spring ahead thing. Like, pick one and stay with it.
Yeah.
I know. I agree.
One.
I agree.
Standard time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had posted this article, and scientists are saying it's actually very unhealthy that we do this, where we spring ahead and fall back. And people have more heart attacks during this period of time, all that kind of stuff. So I posted this article because I thought it was interesting. Well, a friend of mine tagged a friend of hers on my post.
Oh, God.
And this chick was like, don't touch my daylight. Don't touch my summer. And I'm like, I didn't touch your summer. Her first reaction was, fuck them. And I'm like, whoa, that's a pretty strong reaction. And that's when she got into the whole, don't touch my summer, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I didn't touch your summer. I posted an article. And she's like, and I'm replying to my friend. And I'm like, on my goddamn page. So you probably get your ass blocked for that shit. So I separately messaged my friend, and I'm like, listen, if she wants to be a cunt, she can do that on her own page. But you're not going to be, you won't be a guest in my home or on my Facebook page with that kind of attitude. She can go fuck herself. So, you know, if your friend has an article and you disagree with it, that's between you and your friend. If your friend has tagged someone else that you're not friends with, that person should mind their P's and fucking Q's, because you basically let somebody that you don't know into your house onto your page. And it's like, I don't owe you a fucking thing. I don't even owe you being polite to you with your attitude. So when you see something, folks, that you object to, if it's a friend, say something, you know, if you guys have that kind of relationship. But if you're a complete fucking stranger, shut up. Move on.
Yeah. Well,
jog on.
Yeah. And certainly, you know, if it's something that, you know, something on one friend's page that you want to get a different friend's opinion on, don't tag them in other people's on other people's pages. That's just fucking rude.
Copy,
you know,
the
in my
fucking
opinion.
Article. Copy the article. Okay.
Yeah.
Send it to them
in a direct message.
Either that or put it on your own page and, you know, or ask your friend to put it on, or actually my friend should have put it on her own page instead of tagging this person. And honestly, I actually know this girl, but the fact of the matter is that we were not friends in high school, okay? My friend and I have been friends since high school, but this other person, even though we were in classes together, I had nothing to do with this bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
Clearly, there's a reason.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like her then, and I sure as fuck don't like her now.
Get her,
you know. I'm just saying, be nice.
Exactly. Cost nothing to be polite.
Or just don't be rude. I mean, if you disagree with the article, talk to your friend privately, but get the fuck off my page with your rude attitude. You know?
Yeah.
I don't go to strangers' pages and shit on them. I don't. Like, I'll go to a friend's page. If a friend has posted something and there's conflicting testimony about it, you know, I may or may not even answer at all, even though it's my friend. I may just bypass that whole shit because, again, as I'm famous for saying, My opinion is not needed or warranted. Period. Sometimes you gotta just scroll on. You know, just keep going. There's no reason to make enemies. Sure, you may get aggravated, you may feel your blood pressure start going up, but don't do that to yourself. Don't cause conflict where obviously these other people are already causing it. No need to get into somebody else's drama. Just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I have realized something about my coffee.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. What? Yes. Don't fucking drink it before showtime. Let me tell you something. When you get to be a certain age, my young witches, let me tell you, there are some things that are magic through potions. There are some things that are magic through spells. But one of the greatest pieces of magic you can do for yourself when you reach a certain age is making a great cup of coffee, because I will tell you, things that need to be loosened will be loosened right away.
Yes. Oh, there's a reason I don't drink coffee at work anymore.
Hello, me neither. Well, you know what? I actually shouldn't say that. I do drink it at work. I drink it at work all day because nobody cares if I'm in the bathroom, because I work at night too. So all of the time I spend in the throne, I am still making up for in the evening. No one's going to say anything. But yeah, coffee can be a very powerful medicinal when you get to be a little older. Oh, speaking of getting older, can I just say, I am seeing a lot of witch stuff back and forth between millennial witches, boomer witches, Gen Xer witches, and Gen Y witches. And the Gen Xers and Gen Ys seem to be having the same feeling about being ignored, while the boomers and the millennials are going after each other. And I just don't fucking get it.
Yeah, I don't either. It's, you know, I'm Gen X, so I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to stay here and be invisible like I've always been, you know? Just leave me the fuck out of it.
Well, I mean, and the funny, and I'm at the end of the boom. Like, I'm just a couple of years before the boom ended. But it's like, wow, people are really in their feelings, man. I mean, you know, I used to just get shit for being Gardnerian. Now I'm getting shit for being, I'm not really getting shit, but I'm just seeing that, you know, Gardnerians that are boomers are just getting a ration of shit more than usual. I'm like,
that's ridiculous.
Guys. Well, I mean, listen, I understand it to a certain extent because for the longest time, millennials were getting slammed on, and boomers are just fucking old, you know? I mean, and I can say that because I am one. But not all millennials suck, and not all boomers are assholes either. And it's just like more division, and it's really kind of weird because people are saying, you know, I wonder if this is part of Russia's plot to divide and conquer America some more. I don't know.
Well,
I have no idea.
No. If the media would stop putting out how millennials are killing this and killing that and killing this industry, you know, maybe they wouldn't be so fucking angry. No, the kids have found a cheaper, better way because, you know, they have been left with no fucking choice because they're in student debt. They can't find a fucking job, and they have to find their way around. And then people are getting pissed off at them because they don't use fucking fabric softener or they eat avocado toast. What the – why? What the fuck is
okay,
that an argument for?
First of all, boomers have been using fabric softener because they're the ones who fucking invented it. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, avocado toast is goddamn delicious. Number three, we're all in student fucking debt. All of us who, like, have a degree suffered with debt. None of us got by without it. So it's really the same fucking argument. That's not what I hear millennials getting slammed for. What I hear millennials getting slammed for are being precious snowflakes, which I don't agree that they are, but a lot of them are. And boomers are getting slammed for being the get-off-my-lawn kid generation, although I have to say, the generation previous to that was really the get off my lawn generation.
Yeah.
That's where that started. So, I mean, but the fact that you have a younger population actively fighting with the older generation is really just weird. I mean, it's always been there, and I guess we all just see it now because we have the internet. But, try to, get past that, folks, because we're not helping each other by being at each other's throats, especially witches. You would think that witches would know better, but nah, just as stupid as everybody fucking else. Infuriating. My people, have we learned nothing, really? More witch wars, more bullshit, and the term witch war just makes me throw up now.
Oh, it sounds like a comic book series or something, you know.
Which ones?
Yeah,
pagans. Let's not go there.
This is one of the main reasons I remain a solitary. You know, I mean, there are very few people I trust to actually practice with, and I mean, it's not even a handful. You know, you and maybe two other people, you know.
Yeah, I'm hard pressed beyond a couple of people, definitely.
Yeah. I'll go to public circles, but I'm not really practicing at that point. It's just, you know, it's ceremony. And ceremony is public ceremony is different to me. You know, because I tend to shut down because I can hear everybody, especially the newbies. And that's not a slight against newbies. You guys are welcome. You know, it's just I can hear. Am I doing this right? Okay, what do we do next? You know, it's distracting. So I just go through the motions and have fun with my friends. But
yeah, I don't even do that because I don't like it. I mean, I understand if somebody wants to do a public ceremony and you know, whoever wants to do that is great, but I won't do them because you can't really get any magic work done because you don't know who's on the same page and you can't really trust it. And it can go haywire at a moment's notice. And these big public things just have too many conflicting energies. It's just a problem.
Yeah.
If it's just to show how something is done, all right, that's nice. But if it's to do real magic work, you ain't getting – shit ain't happening. I'm just going to tell you.
No.
It ain't happening. No.
Yeah. There you go. There's advice to young witches. Yeah. It's use it as a learning experience. Take that home and practice it. And, you know, you don't have to have a huge circle of people. You don't have to have a certain number of people. You know, you can do this by yourself. It's okay. You know, but training wheels, that's, I guess, what public ceremonies would be, or training wheels. But you'll find your balance.
Yeah, you know, I don't look at public ceremonies that way at all. I think of public ceremonies as, you know, demonstrating for non-witches that we're really not a threat.
Yeah. I agree with you. It is that too.
Yeah.
You know, for us, you know, seasoned witches. You know.
Well,
but
I'm
honestly,
I don't know about seasoned.
I'm at the age, I'm tired of trying to prove whether I'm a good witch or a bad witch. It's like, it's none of your fucking business. You know? So, I did, okay, Halloween night, I don't know if many of our listeners know, but we got rained out for Halloween. There was no trick-or-treating. I think at one point, my nephews who lived down the street from me, there was like three of them came up for candy when there was a break in the weather, and then immediately, you know, I had to drive them home. But I was dressed up in my little striped stockings and my little high heels and my black dress and whatnot, and I had a witch's hat on, you know, stereotypical, whatever. But I was in the grocery store, and of course, two men, you know, I'm walking down one aisle, and he goes, "Are you a good witch or a bad witch?" I'm like, "That depends on your attitude," and kept walking, you know. And then another one was like, you know, rolled down his window in the rain because it was raining by the time I got out of the store. And he's like, "Ooh, cast a spell." It's like, don't do that to people. Just don't do that.
Well, you have to expect it.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's like, here we go again. You know?
Yeah.
It's like you cut your face with to ask me that. Really? Okay. Was it fun for you? I'm sorry. I'm diverging, but we do have a guest in the queue. Would you like to bring her on?
I would absolutely love to bring her on.
All right. Hello?
Hello?
Hi! Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Miss Kelly Dawn. I am excited as hell to talk to you.
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here.
Cool. So, Kelly, I cannot remember how I found you. I don't remember if it was through your publisher or just like I ran across your writings and went, "Oh my gosh, I think I'm in love." So tell me, how did you, because I've been reading a lot of your stuff lately, and I think you're amazing at manifesting, and I was reading some of your posts, and I'm like, wow. Tell us the story of how you got to do what you're doing right now.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I grew up in a world where, like most of us do, where we're expected to go to college, get a good job, and get the house, and get the car, and do all the things that are, quote unquote, like adult things that people do to be successful. And so I did those things, and I ended up working for the family business, and I had all the things that I thought I was supposed to have to be happy, and I was absolutely miserable. So I stayed in that job for about 16 years, and the entire time I just felt really trapped by my circumstances. And I didn't understand at the time that I had the power to leave. Like, I thought about leaving, but then I got scared because I didn't know what else I would do. But it was this ongoing cycle of feeling really trapped and powerless and frustrated because I didn't want to be doing that with my life. And finally, one day, I decided enough is enough. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to figure it out. And I picked up and I left that job that had the benefits, the good paycheck and all that good stuff to go work at a coffee shop for minimum wage because I just knew I had to get myself out of that environment. And then there, my manager thought I was absolutely crazy. He said, "What are you doing with your life?" I'm like, "I have no idea, but I'm going to figure it out." So from there, I spent a couple of years working at odd jobs and just learning how to tune back into my intuition. Because for most of my life, I was looking outside of myself all the time for answers. And even though as a kid, I felt really tapped in and tuned into spirit and I was into magic and witchcraft and I felt really connected back then, as an adult, I forgot how to listen to my own voice, I guess. So I worked some odd jobs, and eventually in 2013, I started my own cleaning business. And that was my first taste of entrepreneurship, and I was addicted to that, for one thing. I knew I would never have another job again. But I also started diving really deep into, like, Tony Robbins and all, like, the personal development stuff out there, as well as the law of attraction manifestation stuff. And I just went down this rabbit hole, and I learned everything I could about manifesting and the way the universe worked. And I realized it all tied back into the magic that I used to study when I was younger. And then from there, I got into coaching because I realized, like, I was up at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning reading these books and testing out these theories and implementing things. And I remember sitting there one morning thinking, I bet there's people out there that want to learn how to change their lives, but they don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and read books for hours at a time. I bet you I can help them. And that was what I did to get into coaching. And then from there, I started doing more intuitive work. And right now, it's just a blend of coaching and mentoring with some intuitive work still mixed in there as well, because I still love doing readings.
Wow. Okay, so you do readings, you do coaching, you do teaching. What have I missed? What else are you doing?
That's about it. It seems like love, but it's not. Like, I run group programs, and I have one-to-one clients. And it's kind of like a mishmash of everything all together. So, like, the readings, they are separate on their own. And right now, I only do a few of those a month every so often. But everything else just seems to flow together organically.
Holy shit. I am not doing enough with my fucking life. Holy crap. Wow. So from 2013 till now, which is not really a whole lot of time, you basically turned your entire life upside down, and now you're doing everything you want to do. Is there anything you're not doing yet that you want to do?
I think I want to still be doing the same thing, just on a bigger scale. Like, I feel like I'm just getting started. That's the feeling. That's kind of like this fresh new thing that I'm doing, even though I've been doing it for years. I've just had this new, I don't know, burst of energy with everything lately. But I love what I do. I just see it expanding and reaching more people and impacting more people.
Wow. Well, let me ask you a question. Because I've seen your picture, and you're really young. So, A, I'm, like, way impressed. But B, being an older person as I am, what advice would you give somebody who's basically done a career for 20-something years and now is like, is that all there is? I want to do something different.
I'm almost 42, so I don't feel super young. I feel like I've lived a couple lives.
But you're stunning, so you had me fooled completely.
I guess the advice for anyone would just be to just start and start following those nudges that you get. So if you're working like a 9-to-5 and you might not be madly in love with what you do, if you get a nudge and a pull to move in a certain direction, all it takes is one step. And I think a lot of people think that they need to just completely stop what they're doing and jump into something else. And that can be super scary, right? And so a lot of people don't do anything. But really all it takes is like that one step. And even if you want to start, like, if it's coaching or doing readings, like, do that on the weekends, like a couple times a weekend. Or if you feel called to do workshops, like, do that once a month in your community. And don't think that you need to do this, like, all or nothing thing where you burn your bridges and leave everything behind and jump into the unknown, because that's what keeps a lot of people stuck and frozen in a place that they don't really want to be, because they feel like it's just way too much to take on if they start doing what they love.
Right. But by the same token, how much of this is being willing to take that leap of faith? I mean, so you're saying it doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing, but if you don't take that leap of faith, are you slowing the process down?
I think it depends on the person, because I think some people thrive under the pressure of, like, I need to make this work. Like, I need to make this work, otherwise I'm not going to make rent this month. And that pressure really fuels them to put themselves out there and to take off in that area. Whereas other people, they're more comfortable with, like, the slow and steady growth, which is fine. I think one of the downsides to social media is that we see all these, like, success stories that look like they just happen overnight. And mm-hmm. in reality, it took years for these people to get where they are. So I don't think there's a real rush when it comes, especially when it comes to your purpose work, because you can start doing that whenever. And I think, like, I believe in divine timing, and I think it's going to take as long as it needs to take. And we can't really rush things. I think the universe has some power when it comes to what we're doing. And if we try to rush things and we jump in before we really feel the soul call towards something, then we can get ourselves into positions where we're wondering, like, oh my gosh, why did I do this? Whereas if we had just taken one step at a time and gone a little bit slower, then the process would have just felt a lot more flowy and exciting and fun along the way.
Yeah, but I find that a lot of people are just so afraid to take the first step. I mean, there's so many things that you have to be concerned about now. Like, is there a glut of what I'm doing? Am I entering an already crowded field? You know, or should that matter? Should that not matter?
No, it doesn't matter, because there's only one you, and there can be a million other people doing something very similar to what you're doing and what you're offering, but it's you and your energy that people are attracted to. And we don't actually need that many clients, especially if we're stepping out and creating a business. It's just a handful of people that we need. But what makes you unique is exactly what's going to call those people into you.
What if you start doing something that you think you had that soul call to, and it turns out to not work out the way you thought it would?
I think it's all part of the journey. And I had this happen with my cleaning business, because when I started that years ago, I had no idea about coaching when I first got into the cleaning business. And I thought I was going to build the next Molly Maid. And I thought I was going to build this empire. And I had it all mapped out in my head. I was visualizing it. I could see it. And then I was in that business for a few months, and I had built it up, and I was ready to start hiring people. And I remember sitting there interviewing the women, and I was just like, no, this just feels wrong. And then I realized it wasn't really what I was called to be doing for a long-term thing, but it was the stepping stone I needed to put myself out there and at least start a business. And so if I hadn't done that, I might not have found coaching, and I might not be doing what I'm doing today. So even when it feels like, or even when it seems like, rather, it's not really what you're meant to be doing, or it feels like you're doing the wrong thing, or you've made a mistake, everything is leading you exactly where you need to go.
Oh, my gosh, that's wild. So I got to ask, is the cleaning business still there?
No, that closed up completely a couple of years ago. I worked at it part-time as I built my online business, and then I let things dwindle down, so I was only doing it a couple hours a week, and then I let it go back in 2017, I think it was.
Oh, my gosh. So you've, like, lived all these insanely creative lives. That's really cool. Wow, it's like having more than one personality. I find that fascinating.
It totally feels like that.
I'm sure it does. I mean, because, you know, when you go through different stages in your life, you are having different lives. Like, you know, I had a life before I was a mom. Then I had a life as a mom. And although I'm still a mom, my kids are adults. So it's like, you know, my life is now a different life altogether. You know, like, Sis and I have been doing this show for, how the fuck long have we been doing this show?
7 years. Coming up on 7 years.
No, it's over 7 years. It's going to be 8.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
See? Even we can't keep track. Holy shit. You know, it's like the life we had before show. It's the life we're having during show, you know, and sis has kids, you know, varying ages. And, you know, I mean, I get that, and it's interesting. But, like, when you say take a step, you know what I mean? Like, somebody who doesn't have a career per se but wants to do something, like, what would you tell them, what would you guide them towards as a first step for breaking what I guess is kind of like a chain or a place where they're stuck?
I would tell them to do something that makes them uncomfortable. And so that might look like going to a local networking event and just being around the people that you might want to be working with or something like that, because I think it's too easy for us to think that reading a book or Googling something or watching a documentary or a training is the next step, which those things can be beneficial, but they also keep us safe. So doing something that stretches you and moves you outside your comfort zone, that's in alignment with what it is you feel called to do, would be, could be like something not massive, but still something in the right direction.
Oh my gosh. Talk about something that makes you uncomfortable. Okay. Wow. See, like, I want to travel and I'm terrified of airplanes. So I guess your suggestion to me would be get on a plane.
And maybe have a couple drinks first.
Anesthetize your victim first. Okay, I get it. I get it. Makes sense. Well, there's a reason why I'm terrified of airplanes. My mother and I were almost in a midair collision when I was young. So I've always been, you know, since then I've always been terrified. But I would love to go more places. And see, I guess it applies to everything, you know, the things that hold you back from living your best life is kind of what you're a coach in. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that sums it up well, because I think there's so much for us to experience. And when we think about how much time we have on this planet, it's really not that long at all. And to think that we're going to let ourselves not experience all we want to experience because of something that might feel scary, I just find that heartbreaking. And we all have fears, like we all go through it. But I just feel that there's just so much out there that we get to experience.
Yeah, and fear can be really debilitating, and it can leak into every aspect of your life, and it makes it hard. I mean, you know, again, I would love to be able to just say, yeah, let's hop a plane, let's go to Italy, let's go here, let's go there, but man, just the thought of it it scares the shit out of me.
And with that, though, what I would encourage you to do is to focus on the feeling of what it's going to be like once you're in Italy and the other places that you want to travel to, because with our fears, we see them, right? When we start thinking about them and when we start thinking about the plane ride and all the anxiety and the things that are coming up when you think about that bad experience, that's just feeding energy into that situation, right? Whereas if we feed the energy into what it is that we want to experience, then it's like the fear dies away on its own a little bit.
I think you're right. Like I have everything in the eighth house in my astrological chart. So it's like the two residing themes in my life are sex and death. And I try very hard to demystify death. You know, so I try to think about, you know, what is it really? What does it really mean? What's it really going to do? You know, what is it that is everyone's fear or concern about it? So I use what you're saying as kind of a tool to try to take the sting out of the thought of it for myself. Although I'm still working through fears of other people dying on me, so it's kind of like I have a lot of work to do in that regard. And I find it really just overwhelms me when I focus on it too much.
Yeah, it can take on a life of its own. I find our mind is such a powerful thing, but at the same time, it can hold us prisoner, and we can go down these rabbit holes where we get focusing on things that aren't serving us and thinking about, you know, what could happen to other people and all this negativity, where I find it takes like constant bringing it back into what it is you do want to focus on. Like it's an ongoing practice where when you know it's your mind going towards something that you know isn't really beneficial for you, you just bring it back towards something that feels good and get yourself into a state where you're feeling better. And then from that place, it's easier to look at things from like a more objective place. It's like, okay, well, yes, we're all going to die. It's not the best thing in the world because we're going to miss the people, but at the end of the day, it's part of life. And we can remove the emotion a little bit when we start focusing more on the positive things that we have going on.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's hard to do. You know, that, like, it's kind of like the law of attraction. You know, I read The Secret and saw, you know, all these different things that I used to employ years ago. And it helped me through a really bad time in my life about 11 years ago. And it got me through a real rough patch where I had gotten laid off temporarily, but I didn't know at the time it was temporary. And I was, for the first time, I was in a situation like that where I was calm. And it really did help. But I find that as women, we are geared for worry more than, say, men.
Oh, God,
so
yeah.
I think it's even harder for us. Yeah, right? It's like harder for us to get over that constant. Like one of the things I hear from my female friends a lot when there's a struggle with finding a job or money, when it's the male in the relationship or the male who's the child or whoever, men just seem to have an easier time saying, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. And women are just like, oh, my God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And it's interesting to see that happen because in the folks I know, the men are usually right and the women are getting themselves balled up for most of the time, no reason, not always, but a lot of the time. So it seems to me like women are geared more for holding themselves back. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think because we tend to be more open with our emotions, and worry is such an interesting thing because I feel like when we're worrying, what we're doing is trying to fix things. It's like, well, as long as I'm thinking about it and as long as I'm dwelling on the situation, then I'm somehow doing something about it. When in reality, all we're doing is feeding more anxiety and negative energy into something that we don't want. Whereas men, you're just a little bit better at, you know, not thinking about things, and they might be processing it and dealing with it in a totally different way that's not beneficial for them. But I think women, we do tend to create stories and project these things out into the universe before they even happen, and we build these mountains out of molehills when if we just take a step back and look at things for as they really are, and it's like, okay, well, this is a situation. What do I want it to be? And then what can I do as far as action steps? Like, can I do anything about the situation? And if not, is sitting here and allowing my mind to race around in circles actually going to solve anything? And when I find myself caught up in a place like that, the first thing I do is I get outside and I go for a walk or a run and I ground my energy because I get myself into like that state a little more often than I like to, but I've learned to control it because I can spin right out of control with it. But I think grounding your energy and exercising can make a world of difference.
Wow. So you just taught me a huge ass lesson about what I'm actually doing when I'm worrying. I'm somewhere in my head, I think, if I focus on it, I'm actively doing something about it. No one has ever said that before that I've ever heard. So that makes so much sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, here's the thing. Because you've identified what it is I'm doing, because I think a lot of the time what we do to ourselves is by rote or instinctual or just bad fucking habits. And we don't even know why we do these things. But you've just given me the reason of why I focus so hard when I'm worried about something, and that makes a lot of sense. So, and I'm sure if it made sense for me, it made sense for somebody else too. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's stuff we do to ourselves, and until somebody can say, oh, this is what you're actually doing, we just keep doing it because it's what we're used to doing. Now that you've given me a tool to use when it happens, I may start reacting differently. So I'm going to remind myself that you said that. So thank you. That's pretty damn important.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Wow. So let me ask you some questions about your coaching. Like, and you said you do it one-on-one. So is it a situation, like, is it something that you do online? Do you do it through phone, or does it have to be in person?
Oh, I never do anything in person. It's usually either over the phone or through Zoom or Skype, like video calls.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
So is it a daily thing? How does it work?
Okay, so right now it's working together for 3 months at a time, and then like a minimum of a 3-month commitment, because I find that gives people a chance to really get in there and do the work and create some change. And then from there they can go month to month. But it's weekly calls that are usually about 30 minutes or so. But then what I like to do is give people access either through Facebook Messenger or Voxer. So it's like a voice note and text message access in between calls. Because what I find is that we can hop on a coaching call and we can talk about things like, I mainly work with entrepreneurs. So we'll talk about some strategies and some mindset stuff, and they'll be good to go at the end of the call. And then 2 days later, when they're about to do like their first live stream and they're freaking out because they've never done a live stream before and all those fears coming up, they can reach out and send me a message, and I can send them a voice note back kind of kicking their butt in a loving way. And I can communicate with them back and forth like that when life happens. It's a combination of the phone calls plus the messaging in between.
Wow. Okay, so I'm kind of surprised that you're mostly working with entrepreneurs, and the reason I say that is what you do is applicable to so many things that have nothing to do with like a business. I mean, just life in general. I mean, look at what you just did for me, for fuck's sake. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of, I'm really surprised, because, you know, you'd be like the person I would go to for relationship advice or, you know, keeping me on a path of spirituality, exercise, meditation. You know, I mean, I find what you do is applicable to pretty much everything. So are you going to expand into more of everything?
Well, usually a lot of that stuff comes up on calls anyway. So I don't work, like, I will take on clients who aren't entrepreneurs. That's totally cool with me, but that just tends to be the people that I attract. So when I'm marketing, it's just easier to speak to other business owners. But on calls, we talk about relationships, and we talk about, like, you know, fitness and health and all of those different aspects, because we're everything, right? We're all multifaceted little humans, so it all comes. It's all related. I don't think we can separate like business from relationships, from this, from that, just because everything's so interconnected.
Really? Oh, okay. That makes sense. I don't know. I find a lot of people in business, they keep that very separate from everything personal whenever they can. But I guess if you're coaching them, they kind of have to trust you enough to let you into all the aspects. Do you find people do that fairly easily?
Yeah, and that comes in on the calls. Like, if someone is going through some major relationship shit and they find, like, they're not showing up in their business or they're not doing the things that they know they need to be doing in that area, a lot of it has to do with doing the work over with the relationship and having conversations over there about meet up space with that department, and that unlocks things in their business.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you know, you forget how much of people actually show up when you meet them in a work situation. Like, you know, sometimes we look at the people we work with as a very one-dimensional thing and forget that, you know, they have struggles and a history and there's a reason why they act the way they do and, you know, what they bring to the table, even though you may not see it up front. And I think in companies, we tend to deal with each other just from that one dimension that we see without taking into account what's all behind it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've done exercises, you know, at my company, we've done exercises about relating to each other and, you know, how to interact with each other, but a lot of the time we find out, quite honestly, that pretty much everybody's an asshole.
That's true.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the folks I deal with, but, yeah, mostly assholes. Listen, I'm the first person who says I'm an asshole, too. I completely come clean with that up front. I am a complete and utter asshole, and I know it. But that's just the way humans are built a lot of the time. But I'm trying.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be better.
It's all about finding your certain brand of asshole and going with it.
I'm a very unique brand of asshole, and I'm aware of that. But I find a lot of people do not embrace their assholiness. And for that reason, they come. But when people do that, when they refuse to, like, deal with who they are, and Kelly, I think that's probably a lot of what you deal with is getting people to be real about what they want and who they want to be. Isn't that right?
Yeah, because a lot of people grow up with expectations around what they're supposed to be doing in life that are from, like, their parents, right? And they're not even what they, like, you think about the people who are doctors or lawyers, they're on the surface level, they're really successful, but they're absolutely miserable because they wanted to be, like, a writer. And their parents told them that they could never be a writer because that was, like, not a real job, like, just as an example. But I think a lot of us, we forget who we are, and it takes sometimes, like, a major thing to happen. And unfortunately, it often happens with people who get really sick and have, like, almost like a near-death experience or some other negative thing that happens in their life that gives them the wake-up call. And they're like, oh, shit, like, I don't want to live the rest of my life doing what I'm doing. But it doesn't have to take that. Like, we don't need to hit rock bottom to realize that we get to create what we want.
Yeah, so you can actually, like, save yourself before it's too late, in essence, which is fucking fascinating if you ask me, and I love that idea. So, I mean, are you an active witch?
Yes, absolutely.
And your clients do they know or do they not care or is it not a factor?
Most of my clients are witches, or they identify as witches. Like, even if they're not practicing, they're really interested in, like, the whole witchy lifestyle. Like, they might have felt like they were a witch in a past life, or maybe they're just at that stage where they've been introduced to the law of attraction and crystals, and they've started to go down that path where they just want to learn more. I work almost exclusively with women who feel called, like, towards the path of witchcraft, or they definitely identify as being spiritual.
That's awesome. Oh, wow. If I could work with, maybe I'll have to manifest that. See, I would love a life where I am only doing witch stuff. So I guess I better get my shit together and start making that happen.
Yep.
You know, but I mean, no, but it's cool because you know, as you said, you were living a life that really wasn't yours and you weren't enjoying it. And now you're doing what you wanted to do. And I just love hearing that because so many people just they come up with all these excuses of why they can't do what they're meant to do. And the only person you're hurting is yourself if you don't. But I also understand the need for someone to coach you through that because we are raised with these conceptions and expectations that aren't ours. I mean, my father's greatest expectation for me when I was a kid was that I would grow up to be a teacher. I never had any intention of being a teacher. But when I went to college, what was my major? Music business and English. There you go. That's a way to get a great paying job. So, you know, and I never became a teacher because it was the last friggin' thing I wanted to do. And so my father didn't get his wish, and I didn't really get mine at the time either. You know, all I wanted was a degree to get out of the house and get a job, which I did. So in that regard, I was successful, but you know, it's not always been the life that I wanted it to be. It is more now than it's ever been, but I think I still have a long way to go. But I think even at my age, and I just turned 58, I think there's still time to achieve it. I haven't given up.
Oh, there's lots of time.
But you know what? Even if there isn't lots of time, it doesn't really matter, because if you don't have something you're working towards, why are you here? You know?
Exactly.
So have you written any books? I apologize for not knowing the answer to this question.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Back in, I think it was 2015, I wrote a book. It's available on Kindle, and it's called Awaken Your Inner Witch, How to... I should know the name of my own book. It's been a while. Create a wickedly good life you love. It was written years ago. A few of the things I probably don't resonate with so much anymore. Like I'm sure it's fine, but it's more of like an introduction to witchcraft and getting people like on their first steps on the path. So things like covering things like candle magic and setting goals and shifting your mindset. But it's like a very basic, like 101 book that I wrote a few years ago.
Oh, so like when's your next book?
I don't think I'm going to write another one. I felt back then that I had to have a book. I thought that was going to be like my introduction to the online space. And then I had to have a book to, I don't know, feel like I'd somehow created something. And then I wrote it and I realized it wasn't like the process I didn't love. And it's not something that I really feel called to do again. So that's probably going to be my one and only. Actually, I do have another book. I wrote How to Start a Cleaning Business in a Weekend. I wrote that as well.
Wow. So do you do coaching tapes? I mean, you had mentioned Tony Robbins and all of that previously. So is that something you're going to be doing?
I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing during the road, but right now I have a podcast, and that's probably like where like the best place for people to get information if they just want to like listen to I don't know, my thoughts and teachings, I guess. And then
yeah.
I have a couple of courses available that are like self-study courses as well.
Where's the podcast, Kelly?
Oh, it's Awaken Your Inner Witch. It's on like iTunes and Spotify and the other podcasty places that are out there.
Excellent. Okay, good. Thank you. I'm like, she's leaving me hanging. She's got to tell me where I can listen to her, for Pete's sake. But I'm a witch. I'm not that fucking good. Divine should have a thin air. I have not graduated to yet, Kelly. You got to work with me. But I find it fascinating that, you know, you do this, and it seems like a really cool thing to do. It's got to be an amazing amount of pride and joy when you get somebody to the point where they can do those live streams or speak in front of a lot of people. Is it kind of like that, oh my gosh, my baby has grown up kind of feeling? Is that what happens when it manifests for you through somebody else?
It totally is. And even people that like reach out and say that like a certain podcast episode really helped them or something I shared really helped them. Like, I get teary when I hear stuff like that. I get so emotional and so moved because there are days when like sometimes you feel like no one's even listening. And even though, like, you know, you might have people on social media that follow you and all that good stuff, which is great. I think like at the end of the day, we're so human, and it feels really good to know that what you're doing is helping other people. And I also remember what it was like when I was in tears before I did my first live stream. And I know about the fear of putting yourself out there and the fear of leaving a comfortable job and taking those first steps. And I'm still living through fears. I'm doing things as well. So I get it, and I know what people are going through. So when I hear other people doing things that they feel called to do, it just makes my heart want to explode. I just get super happy about it.
Yeah. Sorry, sis, go ahead.
No, I was just laughing. I'm sorry, I realize I'm on delay. That's why I'm not talking that much, because I know it's interrupting you too. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good, but I've been dominating this whole conversation. Please jump in.
Okay. I would actually, I'm curious about your meditations. And, you know, do you do those online? Is it just like set instructions, or is it like on your podcast?
The meditation?
Yeah.
Oh, it is the one I have. It's to help people meet their inner witch. So it's about, I think it's about 10 minutes long, and it's just a guided process that I walk people through so they can visualize themselves meeting and connecting with their own inner witch. And then from there, they can go back and they can use the meditation over and over again to connect with her and have conversations with her, because the way I see it, we all have this inner witch inside of us. If we feel the pull and the call towards that path, that means that there's something within us that resonates with it. And I see our inner witch as that part of ourselves that's just really empowered, really intuitive, and the part of ourselves that's like the divine aspect within ourselves. I see our inner witch as that piece, and we often don't really listen to her when we should. Instead, we're listening to fear and logic and those things that keep us stuck. But when we connect with our inner witch and we lead our lives from that place, that's when we can create some really powerful change. So that's the meditation that I have available. It's on my website.
Oh, that's cool.
Hey.
Okay, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
Okay, I was just going to say, and we have your website hyperlinked, and we'll go ahead and share that again after the show on our page, so people can go take a look for themselves.
Do you do any live appearances, Kelly? Do you go to conventions, or do you go to any of the pagan festivals and you know, do any teachings there?
I don't. I've never even been to a convention. I've been to a local psychic fair, and that's about it, because I'm a total hermit. I hardly ever.
Girl.
Been
No. Madam, you must expand. No. You cannot be a hermit. That is not good. Are you on the East Coast or the West Coast?
I'm on the East Coast. I'm also the Central East in Canada.
I'm sorry, where? Oh.
I'm in Ontario, Canada, so I'm like on the East Coast.
Okay. Now I understand why you're hermiting. Do you ever come to the States? You must come visit.
I've been down. I went to New Orleans last year. I took myself on a vacation down there. And I've been to a few mastermind events. And I'm actually going to be doing a retreat. The idea was just discussed today for the first time ever, so it's not even – we don't have the details just yet or anything, but – I'm going to be doing a 2 or 3 day retreat with someone else coming up in 2020. So that'll get me out of the house for sure.
Cool.
And wow. I'm amazed that you're able to do what you do. But you know what? If that's what you like, you kind of have set yourself up rather perfectly for it then. Because it's something you do via phone call and Skype. So, that makes sense. Listen, if that is living the dream, that's pretty damn cool. But I will say, if you're looking to expand, you got to let people see that beautiful face. She's laughing at me. I mean,
she's like, but there's people out there.
Seriously, she's gorgeous. I mean, really, go look at her page. She's really gorgeous. It's ridiculous. Behind all that, you got to be showing that stuff. Love it. I don't know. I would claim the whole world. That's just dynamite.
So what are your plans for Yule?
Yeah. Plans for Yule?
Yeah.
Good question.
I know, since it's like approaching us like a freight train.
Boop, boop.
This is crazy how fast this year has gone by.
I know. Miss Kelly, she's talking to you.
What was the question?
Oh, yeah. Do you have any plans coming up for Yule?
Nothing really major. I like to check out like the Christmas lights and the decorations, and I love to spend time outside, so especially, any time of year really, but I like to do sort of a quiet thing. I don't have a big family, it's just my mom and I. So we get together, we do a dinner, and I go around and I appreciate all of the decorations and the work that people do because I don't put my own up. But as far as like celebrations, I keep things pretty simple. Probably just spend some time at my altar and light a few candles for those who have passed on that aren't with us anymore. Kind of the same thing that I do around Halloween, but nothing too extravagant.
Yeah. Cool. I understand that. We don't do anything too extravagant either. but I don't know. I'm almost at a loss as to what to ask because there's, what you do is like spiritual and practical and psychological. Did you take any psychology courses?
No, not formally, but when I was younger, I was extremely depressed and, suicidal. So I was always fascinated. Yeah, I was just fascinated with how the mind worked. Once I got myself out of that place and I went to therapy for a little bit, it didn't really do much for me, but that's why I think I'm so, a lot of the reason why I'm so passionate what I do is that, the power of our mind is incredible, and we can create so much just through our thoughts, and that can go in either direction. Because I remember back when I was depressed, I didn't realize it at the time, but I was constantly focusing on everything I didn't like. I was constantly focusing on what wasn't working, and even the music I was listening to would help me help me feel even more depressed. And at the time, I had no idea I was doing it. I was just like, I like this song, and it's making me cry. And I was teenage years, too, so I guess that's part of it. I don't have formal training. I've worked with a lot of coaches. I've taken a lot of, mindset courses just offered by other coaches and mentors. But I'm just fascinated with the way the human mind works.
No, that's, you know, and I prefer that because, you know, I was depressed as well. And all during college, I had an on-site therapist at college. So I was kind of lucky, and it kind of fucked me up at the same time because, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists tend to learn a bunch of rules that apply. They think it applies in most situations, and it really doesn't because you're not treating an individual. You're treating a symptom. So I kind of like the idea of you not being formally trained in that vein because you're open to more creative ways of approaching it. Does this make sense? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. And I think, too, with, like, traditional methods, like, there's definitely a time and a place for
Kelly,
it.
Kelly, stop. I'm losing your warbling. I can't hear anything you're saying. Can you move to a different spot or something?
Is this better?
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes. But as I was saying, I'm so glad you're not, like, trained like that because you're not adhering to these hard and fast rules that I think would be so limiting to what you do. And you were responding to that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I think there's definitely a time and a place for therapy, but what I found when I was going through it is that it was this constant rehashing and dwelling on the past. And I was like, well, it's okay to try to figure out where things are coming from and where the root was, but what's more important is where you're going moving forward. That's the way I see it. So I think, as far as my own personal journey, I've experienced more breakthroughs and found coaching to be more beneficial than therapy. My experience. But yeah, I find that moving forward and coming from this place of we're constantly creating our reality, what are we going to do based on this point right here moving forward is just a lot more helpful than digging around in the past for 10 years, trying to figure out why we are the way we are.
Oh my gosh, that is so amazing and so true. Because having been in therapy as long as I had been, because I started college at 16, so I had a therapist with me until I was 20. All it did was explain to me what I actually already knew was that the person who was tormenting me was coming from a place of being tormented. Well, that's great. And, you know, I mean, but I already knew that, so it didn't change the situation. All it did was explain it. But when you're feeling under physical threat, like someone wants to kill you because they do, that doesn't really fix it. You know, it doesn't give you any kind of tools except to say, oh, well, you know, damaged people create more damaged people, you know. So I love the fact that, you know, coaching through it and out of it is way different than just going to a therapist and having the therapist, you know, basically say, yeah, no, you're okay, but this is what you need to get through, you know, what you're telling yourself. Because I agreed with my abuser, because when you're abused as a child, you carry all of that forward in your head and you start believing all the negative stuff you were told when you were younger, that you're worthless, that you're stupid, that you're ugly. I mean, all those, and it could be either any one of those or all of those together. And I was hit with all three. But the therapy didn't help change the situation. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very different thing. I just want folks to understand being coached, you know, and being given tools is not the same thing as going to a therapist. And I'm not slamming therapy. I'm just saying they're very different things.
Guys?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just making sure everybody was still with me. Hello.
Okay. I'm still here.
noisy one. I'm so sorry, Kelly.
Oh, that's okay.
No, but I mean, I'm fascinated. And if I'd had somebody to coach me then, I can't even imagine of what I could have done or could have been or still might be. Hey, look, anything is possible, you know. Don't cut yourself off. That's what I'm learning right now.
Yeah, we have, like, so much time still left. Like, I mean, like, overall, as humans on the planet, it doesn't seem like a lot of time, but when you think, like, you know, another 30 years of your life that you could be doing something you love, that's a big chunk.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm lucky enough right now because my sister and I talked about it one day as a joke, and she was like, a week later, guess what? We've got a podcast now. And I'm like, what? And it really, I mean, you know, it's been such a blessing in our lives. I mean, I think I can speak for you on that, right, sis? That, you know.
Definitely. 100%.
It was like an idea that we had that we were like, we're funny. We ought to, like, do this where people can hear us. And now we do it. And it's been great, you know. We get to meet all these great people and, you know, we get to go to conventions and we get to go talk to people. And it's really a lot of fun. And we are constantly learning stuff. So, I mean, we are so grateful that you agreed to come on because, you know, listen – a lot of people are like, yeah, whatever. But then we get great people like you who are like, yeah, I'll come on. Why not? So, Kelly, what do you want to promote? What do you want to talk about now that I've, like, talked your ear off?
I think what I have coming up on, it's coming up really soon, it's coming up on Monday actually, is the Revolutionary Witch Academy. And that is my group program for women who want to get started with witchcraft and magic, but they also want to incorporate the mindset work and creating like real world results and then working towards one specific goal, but also learning how to use magical principles for it. I have that coming up. And then for the rest of the year, it's just spaces open in my one-to-one program that I have available as well.
Nice. So is all of that information available on your Facebook page and on your website?
Yeah, my website, kellydawn.co, is the best place for people to find out everything.
Awesome. Yes, folks, so don't look for the .com, look for the .co. This young lady is in Canada. She is not in the United States. Don't get confused, because I know it can get confusing. I get confused as well. I'm sorry. Did I miss something?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, goodness.
All right. What do you say, sis?
No. I think this has been a wonderful conversation. I'm sorry. I'm, like, kind of sleepy here. I've been working all day, and Fridays are always murder.
I'm sorry, sis.
No, it's okay.
Well, Miss Kelly,
it's okay.
This has been awesome talking to you, and we hope you will come back and talk to us some more in the future.
Yes.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's been amazing.
Oh, you're so cool. Oh, my God. And we are going to rebook you as soon as we get off the air. But Kelly Dawn, again, she is funny. She is spiritual. She is probably one of the most creative people I've seen on Facebook, business-wise, and just the way she tells a story, I adore. Definitely get on her website. It's also on our show page. She's fantastic. If you are stuck in life and you want to move forward and you want to start a new venture, she is the person to go to. She is fantastic. I can't say enough good things about you, Miss Kelly. Thank you. thank you again for coming on, and we will talk to you again soon. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my God, I love her. She's a doll. And she really is gorgeous. I mean, if you go to her website, I'm telling you, it's like, I look at her and I'm like, oh my God, you're how old? There's no way. She's beautiful.
I know.
And she's funny. She's very funny. And she's so creative. And I just think that's brilliant. You know, incorporating witchcraft with business sense and practices is something obviously really near and dear to my heart, because I'm a witch in business. I don't own my own business per se, but you know, I do use magical practices every day at work, which, hey, listen, if you're going to be a witch all the time, right? So anyway, guys, sis, what do you say, babe? Let's wrap this thing up.
I think I'm going to be, you know, I don't know what the word is I'm looking, but I'm in agreement with you. But we will be back next week with the fabulous Ms. Dorothy Morrison. Find out, you know, what her plans are for the upcoming Yule. Hopefully y'all got
what
your
she's
packages.
Making.
Yes. I'm excited. I need more balls.
I need balls. I've already told her
balls.
Because of the new house, I need balls. Gotta buy them in pairs. That's right.
That's right. Yeah, you
balls
might have
time
to.
For the new house blessings. That's right. The new house blessing balls should be coming out soon.
Yeah, we gotta get ours.
I know.
Anyway,
I need it for the new house.
Well, we love you guys, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend. And thank you for joining us. And we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.